The theme song is Undefeated. Yo, Rod Simba, one of the 33% made it. Every guest I've had in this chair has nodded their head when the beat hits. Yeah. And the guest today is just like the rest, but he might be faster than anyone I've had in the studio. Ted frickin' Ginn Jr. Good to see you.
What's up, boss?
Man, I'll share this with you right away. 2007, I'm interning at the NFL Network in California. Mm-hmm. I worked there for 8 hours a day. Adam Schefter still works for NFL Network.
Okay.
At night, I'm a bar back at a club in Hermosa Beach, California.
Okay.
And they let me work on one story. And the one story I worked on was the connection between you and Troy Smith in that draft.
Yep.
You go 9, Troy goes like 5th, 6th round. And to see you, and I had to tell you, like, on the podcast, this is a weird moment for me.
Uh-huh.
I've been following you your whole career, man.
Thank you, thank you.
Year 13. Did you ever think that we would get to this? 13's a long time in the NFL, man.
Well, you know, it's always been a goal to get over 10 years.
Really?
You know? And then my next goal was to get to 15. And then let's try to get 18. Mm. So, you know, I'm halfway between two of my goals.
So right away you said, I want longevity.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I've been playing this game for a while, man. I've been doing this thing for a while. You know, I started off as a mascot in my high school.
What do you mean?
You know, I brought the team out. You know, as a little dude, you know. My father always been there since 79. So, you know, part of my deal was water boy / mascot. You know, I had helmet, had my jersey, had my pants. I spat it up, you know, and I looked at just like everybody else.
I see that you're now training with, was it Dr. Reef?
Dr. Reef.
So went viral a little bit with Alvin Kamara, doing some of the balance test, and Alvin's balance is apparently.
It's amazing.
Like, even for other NFL athletes, Alvin Kamara's balance is pretty special.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to do some of the things that he was doing, and I'm like, how is he doing this? You know, but it's challenging, and I like it.
How different is it now in terms of how NFL players prepare their bodies to when you first came in the NFL?
Well, you know, when you first came in, there was a lot of squats, a lot of bench, a lot of dumbbells, you know, a lot of, like, hard lifting. Mm. You know, now as you get a little older, you know, you kind of get away from those things a little bit and just work at the little things and the little muscles that goes out first.
Core, muscles, balance, all that stuff.
Shoulders, wrists, knees, and ankles.
Yeah.
You know, them are the things that go out first.
All right, so I do want to start off just where you're from and your family. Glenville, Ohio, and your dad is like a figurehead in this place. And I see that you had 4 guys on the Saints last year that all went to your high school. You, Marshawn Lattimore, Hardy, and then who was the one I was missing?
Shane Wynn.
Shane Wynn. And still, though, like, this is so rare for one area to produce this. And a lot of people give credit to your pops. I mean, what has he built there, and what did you witness?
Well, you know, it's just like a diamond in the rough. You know, we come from the inner city. Cleveland inner city, you know, man, it all was a stepping stone from some guys before me, and then with me, Dante, Troy, Pierre Woods. It's just a stepping stone for where we come from, you know. Just to have them guys to be able to come to the New Orleans Saints, and I came in and kind of came in together, you know.
Sure.
1 year, 2 years now.
Because you were with the Panthers,
with the
then
Panthers.
Came over. Yeah.
So it was like 1 year, 2 years, now we're on our third. And, you know, them guys helped motivate me. It sounds crazy, but they do, you know. It's like a back-and-forth type thing, you
yeah.
know. You playing with one of your high school heroes or what they call hood heroes,
yeah.
you know. And then you playing with your little brothers, you know. And you just want them to be able to see how this thing go, you know, and just
if I rolled with you around Ohio, you're a legitimate certified hood hero at this point.
For sure.
Like, you can feel it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with my father do what he does, you know.
Oh, dude, I see you giving, like, turkeys and stuff. Like, you're doing everything in the community.
Yeah, I'm trying to do everything, you know, just to keep our name alive, you know. It's not about me, it's about him,
mm.
you know. For a guy to be around there for almost 40-plus years, you know, almost 50 years, you know, coaching football, you know, and track, you know, it's just a blessing. And for his son to be able to take over, you know, and be in the NFL this long or just be able to have a name behind him, you know, it's just a blessing.
I saw Ed Oliver got drafted 9. You tweeted out, hey, man, welcome to the number 9 spot. And what's funny is Ed Oliver, his main phrase is stay loyal to the soil. And that phrase, I think, goes perfectly with you, too. Like, I look at your Instagram, and every other post is you with friends from, like, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I like to say stay down until you come up, you know, and they've been my guys, you know, and they have a part of this, you know, as far as my wife, you know, my best friends, you know, my dad, my mom, you know, it's just a collective thing, you know, and not to, you know, recognize them would be wrong, you know, not to shoot them out. I mean, we go from little brothers to guys my age to guys that's older than me, you know, and it's all about the respect factor.
The Gittin family in Ohio, so I'm curious, like, was your grandfather involved too? Like, how deep does this go? Like, how did your dad become the guy he is?
Well, you know, my father went to Glenville also. You know, my mom went to Glenville. My sister went to Glenville. Probably like my whole family went to Glenville, between Glenville and Shaw. Mm. You know, and that's kind of like my friends, our Glenville guys. And then my best friend Brian went to Shaw. You know, my wife went to Shaw, you know. And that's just been our black and red thing, you know. And my grandfather wasn't really involved in the deal, but my father graduated in 74. He came back in 79, and he'd been there ever since. You know, he became the head coach in 97. He became the head girls track coach in, like, 96. You know, so, you know, when I came about, he moved to the boys track coach, you know, and he'd been there ever since. We never won a state title in football or anything like that. We just saved lives. You know, in track, we won, I won 4 with 3 back-to-back, you know, for my time being there. And then he also won at least about 2 after that, 3 after that, with guys like
Ray Smalls. The fact that you said we didn't win a state championship, we just saved lives, that's all that matters, though, right?
That's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, is to take the.
Do you believe that you've actually saved lives?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm one of them. You know, coming from the inner city, you know, seeing the things that we've seen growing up, enduring the things that we come from, you know, and just, you know, being able to say that you're a diamond in the rough, you know. Like they say, we got out the mud, you know, and I'm one of them guys that started getting out the mud. And then once everybody else seen, like, hey, man, we can do this thing, you know, now here come the Marshawn Lattimans, the Justin Hardy.
Sure.
The Frank Clarks. You know, don't forget about him.
Of course. How can I? He just got paid.
Big money.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all it's about, you know, is guys doing better than me. You know, then the next guy do better than the next guy.
I also feel like, though, for all these young guys, they see how much you keep giving back. And then it's not about putting pressure, but it's a guideline.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a lighthouse.
You know, it's just like anything else.
Because I'm sure you see some NFL players that get paid and then separate.
For sure.
And it's the ego that takes over.
You know, I just think that with the marathon that we have, you know, from...
Shout out Nipsey.
You know, yeah, for sure. That's a great guy. But with the marathon that we have as far as, you know, who started it, the middle part of it, and then now we got these guys like Frank Clark, Marshawn Lattimore, Justin Hardy, you know, Shane Wynn, you know, it's a lot more. Willie Henry, you know, we got guys around.
I didn't even realize he's from there too.
Yeah, we got guys around the league, you know, and we just try to just, you know, lead by example. That's all you can really do.
So my dad coached me basketball a good portion of my life, and sometimes it was great. You know, sometimes you come off a win, you're in that ride home, and you're talking about that one play that worked. It's awesome. Sometimes I could not fucking stand it. I didn't get enough action. Now, you're a little bit different than me. But was it ever tough, too, having this role model that never wavered?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, football, my father was like the best guy ever. You know, football, you know, we hung out, we kicked it, you know, we laughed, we joked. But then when track season came around, he was like the worst guy ever.
Really?
You know, I mean, I remember my senior year, I went in there and told him it was too hard. You know, and he liked to grill at a table, like just broke it in half and said, it's too hard. Like, this is what I pay you to do. This is why we do this, you know.
Wow.
And
wait, he broke the table?
In half.
He was upset what you said. Boom, table.
Boom, table. Gone.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck. Like, you know, and I felt like the guys had set me up, you know.
Yeah.
And then,
because everybody was telling you, man, can you go talk to your pops? Practice is too hard.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm beasting in it. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, I'm fine.
I'm fine, but then I'm trying to.
And now the table's not.
No, nobody was after that, you know. And then, you know, it kind of set a guideline of, you know, when to speak up and when not to, you know, and that's what kind of like led me through the league, you know, learning when to speak up, learning when you know your role and accepting your role, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, like I said, man.
Because Pops is going to be harder on you than anybody else.
Well, it was kind of like opposite.
Really?
You know, because I knew what he wanted.
You can lead without being led.
Yeah, so it was just like, you know, hey, man, we better just do this, man, get it over with. You know, that might be our best deal to try to go around the corner and not do it, and then we all in trouble. Mm. You're like, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, it was times where, you know, if I didn't run, and it was always in track, not really in football. Football was like a leisure in high school. Mm. Like, track was like the main subject.
Is football still fun?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know,
isn't that funny? You had work was track, but football has always been fun.
Been fun. You know, I mean, the time that I put in the track made football easy, you know. And with me always being a little guy, you know, 170 or 180, you know, I was able to run around guys, you know. But in track, it was more like mental.
You were the national champion in the 110-meter hurdles. There was a thought that you might compete in the 2008 Olympics. How close were we to that, actually, to you being a permanent track guy?
I wouldn't say a permanent track guy, but, you know, it's just like what the guys are doing it with the major leagues in football. It's really quarterbacks, you know. But
baseball, you mean?
Yeah, baseball, like, you know.
Like a dual sport
dual
star.
Dual sport, you know. But sometimes baseball might take off before football, or football might take off before baseball. But in my case, it was like, you know, I missed going to the Olympics by 1 second, you know.
Did you really?
By 1 second. I ran 46.5. I had to run 45.5 to be a qualifier to, you
who
know.
Who beat you out? Do you remember?
Zach Logan.
Never heard of me. Him. Never. But I've heard of Ted Ginn Jr. No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, it's kind of ironic because I talked to Zach almost twice a month.
Wow.
You know, for all these years, you know. That was my only loss that I had in track. It was to Zach Logan.
Wow.
And we still talk to this day, you know. And
so you ran your whole life.
My whole life.
And that's the 1L.
That's the 1L.
What is it like to walk into any room and go, I'm the fastest motherfucker in this room?
Well, you know, it's a big state. You know, it's a big mind state. And you just got to keep up with it, you know, and do the proper things to make sure that you still be the fastest guy in the room.
Can you tell, like, by somebody's body type if they're fast or not?
Yes.
What do I need to look for the future? You well, just size me up for a second. I'm not fast. Don't worry
about it. Well, you know, it's all in technique. You know, I really went out and learned how to run. You know, there's a lot of guys out here that's extremely fast, but without the special techniques and the way you shape your hands and the way you move your elbows and you get your knees up and things like that, you know, that's what they lose it at, you know, and that might be that second or that tenth of a second, you know. And I really learned track, and my father really learned track, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As much as he is a football coach, he's an excellent track
coach.
Who
did he learn from?
A book.
So this man picked up a book. And then
picked up a book, and then, you know, just going out and seeing different races.
Do you remember the book's name?
No.
To Run by John Q. Brown.
Well, by Ted Ginn Sr. Yeah. But, you know, he used to go out and, you know, like the little meter stick that you see on the road that push out the little orange stuff.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he used to get that, and we used to go to Edgewater Park as a down in Cleveland, and he made a hill out of nothing, you know, and he'll take this little thing and we'll gradually go up 400 yards and then we'll sprint out, you know. I mean, we did a lot of things that he can't do right now with a lot of kids, you know.
Right.
They're probably putting him under the jail.
You were part of the era right before parents started getting involved too much saying practice is too hard.
Yeah, we was part of the era, like, go with him. You with him, you stuck with him, and I don't care what he do to you. You know what I'm saying? And nowadays, we don't have that.
No.
You know, nowadays, if you push a kid too hard, he want to go down to the state and say, hey, he pushed me too hard, or he yelled at me and all this different stuff like that. And then the parents like to jump on board. And then
look, bro, you were drafted the same year as AP.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing AP since we was 14, 15.
I just looked. I want to finish more about your speed. Pro day, you're at a 4.37.
Mm-hmm.
This was coming off an injury in the championship game where I think we can all say, Roy, calm down. You're at a 4.37. You were timed as fast, apparently, at Ohio State at 4.28. But you have told people that you've run a 4.22.
Yeah.
Is that the fastest that you've run?
Yes.
What was that day?
I had came off a We was in Maryland, D.C. I was in an indoor track meet. And then we went up to Penn State. And it was clocked on hand time. But, you know, they gave me, I think, like 4.25 or 4.26. But on hand time, it was 4.22. You know, and it just come from, you know, the day before, you know.
Loose.
I took like third in the hurdles, you know. And I was just coming straight off basketball. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just coming straight off basketball.
Oh, you can hoop too?
Yeah, probably not that good. But, you know, I was more like a
Eric Snow. And you know, Eric Snow.
Yeah, you know.
Dude, I'm a Sixers fan.
I'm a set the offense up. I'm a play defense, you know.
Fist.
Yeah, you know, and try to get it to the hot guy, you know. That was my deal.
When you run a 4.22, how did the coaches at Penn State look at you afterwards?
You know, I mean, it was just like, wow. But, you know, from being from Ohio, they was just like,
we're not getting this guy.
Get this guy. Yeah.
So at least they have it in the scouting report for when they face you.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that I would love NFL players to run the 40 every year because I think it's crazy that Odell's listed 40 time is 4.41.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he's not a 4.41 guy. Just like you're probably like 4.37.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not a 4.37.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, but it's just, you know, as you get older, you know, some guys really lose it. You know, and they have more football speed than 40 speed, you know, and that's why they just happy with what they have. You know,
that one time when they're 22 years old.
Yeah. You know.
Because the other thing is people have said this, we should run the 40 with pads on. Do you agree with that?
I mean, you can.
Have you known people that were fast and the pads went on, all of a sudden they weren't that fast anymore?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, you tend to lose. I mean, you have what? 80 pounds, close to 60 to 80 pounds worth of weight on you.
Damn.
You know, once you put a helmet, shoulder pads, now you got to wear thigh pads and knee pads and hip pads and all
yeah.
this stuff now. You know, it do take a tenth or so off, you know. So.
I'm sure. All right, so I'm just going through your whole history right now. Championship game, 2007, opening kickoff, we're taking it 92 yards to the house.
For sure.
Did you think they would actually kick it to you?
Yeah.
When the ball was in the air, can you take everybody through what it's like to return a kick? Like, what is it like mentally? Like, what are you thinking when the ball's in the air? Are you checking? How does that work?
Well, you know, it's two different ways. You know, you have a kickoff return and you have punts. You know, I would visually say that I see more camera flashing than the ball, you know. But, you line yourself up. You hope that your other 10 guys is in the right spot, and you just try to hit the hole. You know, it's a little different now as a kickoff return. But back in the day, you know, you had markers that you get to, and if you got past the markers, you kind of knew, like, I'm to the house. Like, you know what I'm saying? And all week we kept hearing about this Florida team being so fast, and Reggie Nelson.
Yes.
And all these guys just being blazing fast. So in my head, I'm like, man, first time I touched this
And this
thing,
is an incredible Florida team.
Yeah,
like, when you look at who they've put in the NFL now.
Everybody. You
yes.
got Cam Newton, Tebow.
Oh, that's right. He was the backup.
Chris Leak. I mean, you have.
I can't even do the list. There's like 30 guys.
Riley Cooper,
Aaron Hernandez, like everybody was on that
team.
Yeah,
I mean, they was babies at the time, but the guys that was on the field, you know, like Ray McDonald. And,
yeah,
you know, guys
I'll
like
pull
that.
It up.
But, you know, it was just like, man, I just wanted to show them my speed. And once I did, it kind of like gave them an eye-opener, like, man, that dude just ran past Reggie Nelson with no problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? And after it happened, you know, I could really say that Reggie Nelson came over because he just lost his mom. Right before that game, you know, to catch.
Sure.
And, you know, I was walking off the field, and I remember Reggie Nelson coming over. I had my towel on my head with the crutches and everything. And he was just like, man, keep your head up. You know, you're a real special guy. You know, and I went in the locker room, you know. And, you know, it was just, you know, I just wanted to just show them guys, because you had Urban Meyer.
Sure.
You know how ignorant he is, you know, and. You know, he kicked that thing off, and I just wanted to just be special, and it helped me be nice pick.
So you go there, you get the touchdown, and then Roy Hall, during the celebration, slides in. Twisted an ankle, was it?
I broke my foot.
Fucking motherfucker.
But I missed the surgery.
But I'm saying, if that didn't happen, what kind of a show do you think you could have put on the rest of the game?
They was in trouble. You know, I remember like yesterday, once I came out, they doubled Gonzo and then sent the ends.
And at that point, Troy couldn't do anything because they just loaded the box and everything was underneath and you were the top popper.
Yep.
Like you were. But if you didn't get hurt, what
I was playing
thinking?
Quarterback. I was playing halfback.
Like, oh, this was all in the play.
It was all in the, I had a game formation.
And we just didn't get to see it.
We just didn't get to see it. You know,
Tressel's
idea was to get this dude to the NFL and show him that he's one of the best players that we ever had.
At any position.
Yeah, any position. You know.
Oh. And, so we were going to see you at quarterback in the national championship.
All that type of stuff. I was throwing the ball. I was running reverses. Like
I bet you that month of practice was so much fun for you.
It was. It was so crazy, you know. you know, I like just going down there, just, you know, being in the national championship, one of the biggest games of my life, all the paparazzi around there and the media and, you know, just being that guy, you know, it kind of gave you the stage of what the next level was going to be, you know.
And there was also something about the SEC always calling the Big Ten slow.
And that's what it was.
And you ran by them all.
And that's what I said. That the whole week was just, oh, man, them guys fast. We got to do this. We got to do that. Like, who y'all talking about?
I'm the fastest dude on the field.
Let's do it, you know, and that's what I just tried to show.
Man, I'm so upset. But what's funny is like I go and I look at your Instagram page and you literally list yourself as, hold on, I'm looking at your dad's Instagram page. Mm-hmm. Hold on. You don't even have a position named on your Instagram page. What do you call yourself?
Wide receiver specialist.
New Orleans Saints receiver specialist. We're 13 years in, and we still don't know what position you are.
Yeah,
Isn't that crazy?
You know, I just like to go out. I just like to play football. You know your role, accept your role, and play it. You know, like I tell guys all the time, man, I've been the number one. I've been the number two. I've been the number three. I've been the number four. Mm. You know, I've been a guy I couldn't even get on the field. You know, in my journey of these 13 years, you know, and I accepted every last one of them for what they was worth. And every time I get another opportunity, I just show you who I am.
Is it hard to go and be a three or to go and be like waiting for someone to go in? Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it's all about your mental. You know, when I was a number three, you know, I had a guy like Brandon LaFell and Steve Smith. You know, and them guys was great for what they do. You know what I mean? Steve Smith is always great. You know what I'm saying? And Brandon LaFell was there for a while. He knew his position.
Sure.
He knew his role.
Solid number
two.
You know,
so he was a solid number two. So I was happy to be the number three. You know what I'm saying?
What were those wide receiver meeting rooms like with Steve Smith?
It was great. I sat right next to him. He called me Pookie. You know? But
why would he call you Pookie?
Because, you know, I used to nod a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So he'd keep me up. But once he realized that I can play, and once he realized that I had the ability to play in this game, you know, he showed me so many different tricks and trades that I kind of use now.
Because what's funny is if a guy like Steve Smith, who I believe went undrafted, right? Mm-hmm. Or no? Did he? No.
No, Steve.
Steve might have been like a second round.
No.
I'm checking right now. Steve Smith, wide receiver.
Third, I'm going to say.
He was drafted third round, 74th overall.
Yeah.
But you're a guy that goes top 10. And Steve's a chip on his shoulder type of guy. And I bet you he normally hates top 10 guys because he's all about proving himself.
Yeah.
How did you guys work through that? Or was it just he saw you make a play?
Well,
my first
run in with Steve Smith was over a foot massager. Yeah. So I came in and I sat at the front, and they told me that it was Steve Smith's seat over here to the left. And I was like, cool, I'm going to sit right here, like, you know. And I was using a foot massager, you know, and I was, you know, sitting there. I was, you know, my feet, you know. And I got somebody in the room must have called him, like, to again for using your foot massager.
It was his foot massager?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So one day he come in, and he just look at me and say, I need a new foot massager. I said, okay, just like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Went out, got him the best foot massager. I came back in, handed it to him, and he was like, thank you, like that.
Super angry.
Yeah. So, but then eventually came to me and he said, you know, the reason why I don't like other people putting their feet on my stuff because I had staff here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he broke it down to me. But, you know, it was the respect that you have.
It was like, some alpha dog stuff.
So, you know, I know you're the OG in here. You know what I'm saying? And I did it without asking you. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't no reason for me to act all hard and cocky.
Yeah.
I just do what you asked me to do. And now we became best friends.
Best friends.
You know what I'm saying?
And man, all over a foot massage.
A foot massage.
That could have gone really bad.
Could have went bad.
You could have been like, nope.
Nope.
My feet are better than your feet.
I mean, I was like the second oldest guy in the room at the time, you know. Might have been the third.
Yeah.
You know. So it was like, who you talking to? I could have been like that, but just out of respect and what I know for my father and, you know, the guys that come before you and the guys that come after you.
Sure.
It's all about respect. You know, if you give respect, man, it'll take you a long way. And that's what it did.
I feel like there's respect built into even your number.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me about 19.
So, you know, first round ninth pick, Bernie Kosar.
1-9.
You know, my father wore 19.
And he wore it for Bernie with the Cleveland ties and all that?
No, not really. My father was father played center in high school. And then in semi-pro, he played quarterback. And I remember I still had the jerseys at home where, you know, you had the 1-9, you know, and it's just a special number in our family right now.
Wow. So you went first round ninth pick and you guys were like, this is fate.
Yeah.
Everyone else is what the fuck, Brady Quinn. And you guys are like, we were destined for this moment.
Yeah. You know, we just put the time in. And once you put the time in, we got the blessing out of it.
Is there a phrase that your dad says the most?
There's a lot of them.
Let's hear some of the best hits. These are Ted Ginn Sr.'s greatest hits.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a thing like sweat blood, you know, and that means like, you know, put all the time in, and when you're with your guys, you're going to sweat and you're going to bleed. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Sweat blood.
One heartbeat. You know, you got to have one heartbeat to be a team. Like, you know, I mean, it's
there's so many that you've heard that you just shake your head and you're like, that's a classic.
Yeah. I remember we kicked the guy off and told him, you off the team indefinitely, like, you know, and that's like something that we just.
So when he yells definitely, it's over.
Like it's over. But we'll see you next day, though.
Oh, really? Know? Oh, you're off the team definitely, but be back tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he was just a special guy. Especially in our era.
Sure.
You know, and he's still a special guy.
Yeah.
But it was like, I watched one guy named Freddie Lennox play for Cincinnati, went to Ohio State for a little bit. He walked from Edgewater to 55th.
How far is that?
That's about 70 blocks.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like 7 miles.
Yeah. And just little things that, you know, just growing up and just seeing him do. And if you miss practice, you might be sitting in your front living room when you come home. How did you get here? How did you get in? You know what I'm saying?
He climbed in the window just to make the point.
We just had so many, like, we had so much of a family-oriented type deal.
Yeah.
When we was coming up that we relied on each other, but then in the same sense, we knew what we was doing.
How often do you rely on him now?
A lot.
Really?
You know what I mean? I'm still my dad.
Of course.
I probably get coached up more by him than my own receiver coach.
That's awesome.
He watched film more than probably the Saints do.
So you'll go over there, and instead of having a nice family dinner, he's got the clicker, the cowboy.
Yeah.
Going through your feet positioning versus slot versus outside, eye timing.
You know, he really don't know what's going on, but he's just a football coach.
So he can see it.
So he can see it. I mean, he could tell you, oh, y'all, I think y'all lost the game, like, right here, sir. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, especially when I used to drop a couple passes, you know, he used to be like, well, that's your fault. Like, you know.
Can I talk about drop passes really quick? I had one of my bosses here say that the most exciting play in sports is a 50-50 Ted Ginn ball because you have no idea what's going to happen. How, like, I think that you've made some of the most exciting plays ever, and there's been some drops that have happened. What have people talked to you about it? What's your relationship with it?
Like I always say, I never led the NFL in drop balls. Now, I probably led the NFL in the most exciting drop balls, but not drop balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one deal that I, you know, take heed to now, you know, especially with the coach that I have now.
Who is your coach now?
CJ.
Okay.
Curtis Johnson, and he's real big about drop balls. Like,
you know, Drew's going to put it right on.
Right on you, you know, and it's kind of hard to drop a pass from Drew.
It's so nice.
Yeah, soft like a baby, you know.
But Cam Newton, that's an easy ball to drop.
Nah, not really.
Cleo Lemon.
Cleo was a great quarterback.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
I only know that that was the first touchdown you ever caught was Cleo Lemon.
Yep, in London.
Yeah. Yep,
a bang eight in the shot.
I didn't realize it was international, too.
Yeah, I had the first score over there.
You had the first score in London history?
When they brought it back.
Wow, you're like George Washington.
That's incredible. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, but your relationship with drops. So, like, early on, like, compared to now, how do you view it? Like, how do you mentally bounce back from it? But also, like, how did you train then compared to now?
Well, you know, I was a DB at one point in time in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I always take that next play. You know, a DB give up a touchdown, but he still got to play DB.
Mm.
Excuse me. A DB or drop a pass, he still got to play DB.
Do you think wide receivers are that good to forget shit? Or
got to.
But who's better? It sounds like you think that DBs are better at forgetting plays.
I wouldn't say that. That's the way I train my mental, you know, it's the next play. We was always taught that, you know, especially in high school. It's the next play.
Is there one ball you wish you could have back the most?
It's like two.
Ooh.
The one against Indianapolis Colts when I was with the Miami Dolphins in the back of the end zone.
Oh, that was like your rookie year, was
it?
Yeah. And you had a huge game, too.
I had a huge game.
Like 11 catches, but then there was like two balls in the end zone.
Those two right there, I wish
I could. I don't know why I remember those right now. So those two,
I wish I could get back.
What happened? Take me through those plays.
I mean, one was I misjudged it. I thought I was, you know, going out of bounds, but I still had more yards to go. And then the other one was just run through it, you know, and worry about your feet later, you know. And that's something that I learned as I went on was catch the ball first and worry about your feet later.
Mm. So that's one. What was the other catch?
It
was those two.
Those two.
Damn, so it goes, that's 13 years ago, Ted.
Yeah.
Still. Did you ever come up in your head like?
Because I got benched after that. I had a great game.
Who's your coach?
Tony Sperano. Rest in peace, Tony Sperano.
Rest in peace, Tony Sperano.
I got benched. And they only let me do special teams, and I came up here and played the Jets.
And didn't you return one to the house?
Two of them.
Oh, excuse me.
In 1:03.
More fun. Kick return, punt return, interception return for a touchdown.
I will probably say punt return.
Punt return's one. What's two?
Kickoff return.
And then interception return third.
Yeah.
So why is a punt return more exciting for you than a kick return?
Because of the judgment of it. Like, you got to sit back there, you got to just try and kick it to you. Then you got to worry about these gunners. And then you got to worry about this PP in this center. And then after that, it's touchdown.
So are you saying it's easier to do a punt return? Or I feel like kick returns are figured out on a Tuesday, like the structure of it all. But a punt return, like if it goes left, it's just all you.
You, yeah. That, I mean, it's more exciting to me as a punt returner than it is a kickoff returner, especially now in this age. Right now, you really being a running back there. If you bring that ball out, you got to try to just get up in here. It's man-to-man blocking. There's no more wedges and different things like that. There's no more four-man wedges. See, we had a four-man wedge back in the day.
Jeez.
So, you know, you got about four or five people trying to hit this one wedge. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And so all the attention's right there.
On this wedge. And then now I can go here, go there, or I can split through it. You know?
Yeah.
Punt return is just all free fall.
Man. Yeah. What is your, in your mind, your favorite or best punt return of all time?
Eagles.
Damn, I hate you. I'm an Eagles fan. That was like your rookie year, too.
82 yard. Yeah.
Who is the best punt returner of all time?
Best punt returner? Well, you know, Devin Hester is one of my guys.
Yeah.
You know, I like what Deion used to do, and I'm always a Charles Wilson fan.
Metcalf was up there.
Metcalf.
Nah. Brian West.
Hall.
Brian Mitchell. D'Angelo Hall. Dante Hall. Incredible.
Can't forget about him. I mean, he's one of the guys that really came up with the, in my mind, you know, he started that 1-2-3 deal where you go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and then you hit it.
Can you stretch out the defense a little bit to create a lane for yourself?
Yeah.
It's kind of like passing around a zone in basketball.
Yeah, then you hit that middle guy, you throw the hook shot.
Fastest guy in the NFL right now?
Me.
Wow. Didn't even tell. I feel like most people tell me Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I mean, I respect him.
Okay.
I give him his respect. You know, guy get a ball in his hand and he shoots out of there, you know, and he gets up on you really fast and he can run good routes from time, you know, but me.
You. You don't even need to give any reasoning. You.
I've been doing it for a while. It's out there. It's on film.
So if you ran a 4.37 at your pro day, what do you think you would run right now?
Same.
How have you maintained that?
Well, you know, it's the way that you eat. It's the way that you train, you know.
Bro, I'm about to go on a diet. Can I hear like a Ted Ginn diet?
So right now I just started no steak, no chicken.
Oh, you're doing the Cam Newton. You're going to go vegan on us?
Yeah.
Little fish vegan status?
Yeah,
little pescatarian?
You know, I think, you know, I sat out a couple games last year, and I think it has something to do with my diet.
What were you eating?
Everything. Because I've always been little. Like,
so you've never had to worry about it?
I never had to worry about it. I always had to, like, pack on pounds. Like,
yeah.
And then now I'm getting to the point where it's just like, you know, this is you. I've been between 175 and 183 my whole career. Well, my whole life. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So I've been between 210 and like 235 my whole life. Wait, so what are your biggest vices? Like, what are the foods that are going to be the hardest for you to stop eating?
A steak. I like a butterfly steak. Well done.
We have a debate. Me and my girl, we only eat medium well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the fan base gets very upset because the world's obsessed with medium rare steaks.
Yeah.
And I can't do it anymore.
I can't eat nothing that, like, slimy or, like, bleeds.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
No, not at all.
I don't understand how that's healthy.
I don't think it is. I think it's actually a snobby restaurant culture where you go and they go, medium rare. Yeah. This is how the chef prefers it.
And I'd be like,
I like my food cooked.
Burn mine, please.
Yeah. all right. So some people you've played with. What's also crazy is you've now been on two Super Bowl teams.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I think, remembers the 2015 Panthers. Mm. I don't think everyone remembers you were on that 2011 49ers team, which is one of the most talented teams ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beyonce knocks the power out. The Ravens beat you in the Super Bowl. If that power outage doesn't happen, Ted Ginn.
We'd have won that.
You think so?
Yeah, we gave them time to re-warm up, get back right.
What were you guys doing as that was happening?
Stretching. Well, they was. We was over there like, man, hurry, get the power back on, man. We ready to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it goes back to, like, just knowing your role. You know, in that Super Bowl, I was a special teamer. You know, I enjoyed being a special teamer.
Sure.
You know, every time I touched the ball in that run, you know, I put us in position to either get a field goal or to score. Every time, you know, from the playoff start.
And for 49ers fans, remember, but, like, you were replacing, and I'm not bringing it up to make fun of him or whatever, but, like, what was his name? Fumbled, like, the year before.
Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams. So you were, like, the missing piece.
Yeah.
Like, the stability on the special teams.
Yeah.
Kaepernick was unbelievable.
Yeah.
What was it like to watch that ride with him throughout that season?
I mean, it was great, you know. It was a little controversy at the beginning about between him and Alex Smith,
yeah.
You know, and the things like that. But I commend Alex Smith for just going ahead and just saying, hey, you know, you take it over. I'm going to give me a job next year. So, hey, you know.
And he did.
And got him some money, too. So, you know, it was a great run, man. You had so many number one players on that field.
So talented.
You know, from the offense to the defense, even the linemen, and it was what it was, you know, man. We enjoyed our time. We had Randy Moss in the building.
Wow.
You know, you had Crabtree, Mario Manningham, me, Kyle Williams, you know, all these.
What was that room like?
It was a great, great, funny room. I tell you that.
You got any good Randy Moss stories?
Randy, yeah, a lot of them. You know, I remember, we all got in trouble because they said that the receivers was boycotting because our coaches didn't let us out late and we couldn't warm up like we were supposed to. And we like, man, we the receivers. Like, dude,
we got to get these Pistons fired.
Like, you know, we just can't go out there cold. And I remember one time, man, we went on our little break, and I remember Crab like, man, I don't want to go back. And Randy Moss was like, well, we ain't going back. Like that. He was like, if any one of y'all go back, y'all going to have to deal with me. Like that. And we sat in our hot tub. And our coach came down there. He demanded us to get out. We was like, all right, we're going to get out. He left. He came back. We were still sitting there. And then we got on the field. You know, we got in trouble or whatever. But, you know, that was
and
the time.
Did Randy eventually have to stand up and say something?
No, it was just that's what it was.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, Randy was on, what, 18 at the time, 17, 18 years at the time. So you ain't want no problems with Randy, for real.
Did you learn anything from him?
For sure. A lot of things, you know. I mean, he's one of the best guys. Got the hand and eye coordination outside of Odell right now and Landry. Mm. You know, a guy can just stick his hand up, not even look, and it's there, you know. You know, he was a great guy, man. He taught us with everything that he knew. Randy was more like a free-for-all, though. Like, you know, if I'm running this post and there ain't nobody over there, throw it over there. Mm. I'm going to go get it. These dudes can't run with me. Or throw it up top. This dude can't jump with me. Like,
man.
That was more of a what we learned from Randy at that time. You know, had a quarterback IQ for sure.
You're oh, right. That's all I've ever heard. I mean, the fact that Bill Belichick loved Randy Moss and they would talk a lot, that's because Bill only talks to people that get it.
Yeah.
And that's all I've ever heard by Randy is that he could diagnose a defense so quickly.
Yeah.
Could you ever play for Harbaugh again?
Yeah.
Interesting dude.
Very. He's a Michigan guy.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It's got to be tough now.
It's not tough. I never lost to a Michigan, the state.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That rivalry is so fucking great.
Man, not a Michigan State, not a Michigan, Eastern Michigan, nobody.
I was at your other Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Panthers-Broncos, and it was one of the greatest defensive performances I'd ever seen.
On both sides.
Both sides. And, yeah, people don't realize, I mean, it was like under 300 yards of total offense, like into the fourth mm-hmm. quarter.
Peyton Manning only threw an extra point.
It was Peyton Manning's worst season of his career, and yet he won the Super Bowl.
Both, yeah.
But he made one or two big throws. I felt like Cam had you on one deep pass.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
But that Super Bowl was just, you guys were the fun team all year. You lost, what, your first game and then won 15 straight? Sure. That year had to be so much fun.
Yeah, you know, like we just put it together. You know, you got to realize Cam is a guy that, you know, loves joy. Like, you know, he loves to be upbeat. You know, he loves to have the center of the stage, you know, and we gave it to him,
mm.
you know, with us, you know, losing Kevin Benjamin at the time, you know, that was hard. That
I
was
felt
hard
like it opened
us.
Up the offense,
but
though.
But then it gave us life, you know, and I hate that happened to him, but,
that's
you know,
NFL,
it's football,
man.
You
yeah.
know. But I just remember, you know, when he did go down and, you know, everybody was like, oh, what are we going to do? Because he had just came off a great year.
Huge
you know,
year.
I would say about 1,200 yards or something like that. So, like, he's 6'5". You like, you had a lot to go. And then you bring back Ted. You know, you got Devin Funchess.
Jericho
you
know, Cotri, I think,
Jericho
was on
Cotri
the team.
Jericho come back.
Olsen.
Olsen. Then you have Philly Brown. So you had, like, the mixture of big and tall, speed.
You guys had, in my mind, one of the perfect basketball teams.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had, like, Greg Olsen's going to be your, like, your power forward, mm-hmm. and you're going to be, like, your stretch
three,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just remember that, you know, it took a lot of work that people didn't see, you know, with dealing with guys that you kind of say couldn't play, you know. And we had that chip on our shoulder.
I'm sure.
You know, me and Philly was your one and two, and then you bring Devin in as your three, you know, and, excuse me, Jericho Cotri was, you know, the mastermind behind everything. He could play everything.
Really?
Like, he could play everything. You could put him at X, you could put him at Z, you could put him at F. Like,
he's had some of the best catches in the history of the NFL, and yeah. nobody ever talks about Jericho Cotri.
I mean he's a great guy, you know, on and off the field, you know, a very spiritual guy, you know, and if you ever learn anything about his background, then you'll understand why he's like that. Like,
what's his
know,
background?
Just as far as, you know, his family goes, you know, and, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, that's his stuff.
But, you just understand who he really is and why he put that time into what he did for football.
Biggest misconception about Cam Newton?
Soft. Anybody can take on the whole team sometimes ain't soft.
Mm.
You know,
we're so critical of quarterbacks. I've also believed that we're always more critical about black quarterbacks compared to anybody. But Cam, sometimes I feel like I don't know what game other people are watching, where it's like he drops back and nothing's open, and then he's going to try and create for a little bit and then fire it like a missile 30 yards. Or even this last season, like playing with his shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. Like here we are criticizing his play, whereas if somebody else had a shoulder injury, we'd be like, what a warrior. Like even trying, like as the season's already lost, still trying to go out and do it. I don't get it sometimes.
You know, it's just it's the criticisms that come with it, with that game, with that position. You know what I mean? It's no different than Drew Brees and his height. You know what I'm saying? It's no different than Tom Brady don't run out the pocket. Like, it's what comes with that field, you know? And, you know, you just got to be mindful for who they are. You know what I'm saying? Cam is a runner slash passer. Like, Drew Brees is a setback thrower. Like, you know, Tom Brady's a pocket guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just what it is. We don't hear that about Russell. I mean, he could do it all. He stay in the pocket.
Everything.
He get out of the pocket. He make plays on the run.
Rodgers, Mahomes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just you just got to take for that quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, with us having the speculation of being black a little bit, you know, it'd be kind of hard.
You know?
It ain't no different than Lobster Guy. You know, James Wilson. Like, like he's great. He's a great guy. Like, he can really throw the football, he can really play. Like, you know what I'm saying? But all the stuff that happened off the field, he get criticized so much.
Oh, Jameis Winston.
James Wilson. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, what?
Like, look, man, I this show, we talk a lot about how I think some teams use the media during, like, contract years to put out certain things and, like, mess up type of stuff like that. But I'm curious, when did you realize, like, what was your first experience of going in and going, this Drew Brees cat is different? Maybe not even just, like, playing football, whether it's the weight room or wherever. Like, when did you go, oh, he, like, has leadership pumping through his veins?
Well, you got to realize I played against him for 3 years.
At Purdue?
No, in Carolina.
Oh, sure.
So it was like, you know, we'll be up. You know, we'd be up. One time we was up 35-7, and then next thing you know, it's 35-35. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. And he only losing, you know, certain amount of time on the clock. Like, he's just a perfectionist. And I watched them for many years. Like, man, I wonder what their offense is like. Like, how is it? It just seemed like guys get open so much.
And Sean Payton, man.
You know what I'm saying? And then once I got there, you know, the duo that they have with each other is amazing, you know.
You're talking about Sean and Drew.
And Drew. Like, it's a duo, you know what I mean? They both see the same things at certain times, you know what I'm saying? And when one might see it different than the other, and he going to respect that, and then it might be vice versa, he's going to respect that.
And you had never seen anything like this
before? I've never seen nothing like that before.
What was an example where you're like, their connection's wild?
Well, sometimes you call a timeout, and it ain't just, but this is what we're going to do. Like most coaches, it's like, Drew, what do you see? Sean, what do you see? Let's come to a common ground, and then we're going to go out there, we're going to run the best play that we think we should run.
And you guys got to feel so confident.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just knowing that, you know, both of them put the time in. Like Sean Payton say all the time, you up just to be up. I'm up working. You know what I'm saying?
He's a badass motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches that really be with the players. Like, take a lot of player input.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And don't have a reason not to.
Like, do you think coaches don't because they're afraid?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, but that's the game. Like, that's like LeBron James and Lou. Like,
yeah.
If you don't let LeBron tell you what he see, then how are we going to be great?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If LeBron didn't come in and say, hey, man, we could come back down 3-1. Let's just do it like this. Like,
right.
And the coach got to be able to say, okay, let's do it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because that's why they're great. That's why that guy's going to be – Drew Brees is going to be in the Hall of Fame because he sits up and he studies from 6 in the morning to 12 at night.
That crazy.
Yeah, and then Sean Payton is going to be a Hall of Fame coach because he sits up at 6 in the morning to 4:30 at night. You know what I'm saying? And, like, for a place to have bunk beds, like, they got 8 bunk beds, 12 bunk beds, like, you ain't got to go home. Just go upstairs, get you a couple hours.
Who sleeps in the bunk beds?
All the coaches sometimes. You know, defense, offense, you know, if you have to stay over late, you don't want to drive home.
Yeah.
Go upstairs.
Is that common from your experience 13
years? Never seen it before.
Really? And so when you see coaches sleeping at the facility, how does that impact the 53?
Like, man, we got to be on our stuff. Like, you know, I mean, you know, I come from a coaching background, so I understand, like, when a coach sees something and he want to get it out. Like I remember, you know, a play was like, this guy's going to walk down, Ted. He's going to do it. Watch. He's going to do it. We're going to pump him. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it happens, and then you just be like, thank you, Jesus. I got this coach to understand the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it make it more fun for you.
Of course.
It make it more fun for the team.
Because I'm sure you've had coaches that said, he's going to come down, and we're going to pump him. And you get in the situation, and he's on the other side of the field.
Yes.
And then I call it the disease of doubt. It's that if you keep telling me things are going to happen, and they don't, I'm not going to believe you when they do. Because I'm going to think that's lucky.
Yeah, it's just like your child.
Mm. You're right. If you keep saying, if you do that again, I'm gonna do something.
And then you never do it. He's going to keep doing it. Or I'm going to get you that bike. And then that bike
what
never
comes. What percentage of the time that Sean Payton tells you something, it happens?
95.
Wow.
96%.
Is there any teams that you think Sean can't figure out? Because I feel like he can figure out almost anybody.
Yeah. Between them two. They gonna figure it out.
Do they have a nickname?
No, I call them the duo.
You just call them the duo.
The duo, great duo, and you know, I just like it because they believe in who they believe in.
Right.
No matter the name.
Right.
You know, and if we got this kid over here, he can play. We gonna figure out what he good at and what he can do best, and we gonna use him.
I look at your team right now, and I see the chess pieces that are available.
Mm-hmm.
I see you scaring teams. And how are you feeling health-wise right now?
I'm good.
So you scaring teams deep, which I think was missing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Kamara could do anything you want. Taysom Hill is becoming this guy that I think sucks the soul out of people.
Mm-hmm.
That in the fourth quarter, it's 3rd and 3, and Drew Brees stands outside, and he gets the run. You're like, man, they're back. Up, dude, that I don't even know what his position is.
What
beat
is
us.
His name?
And then you add Jared Cook,
mm-hmm.
who I believe is one of the biggest mismatches at tight ends in the NFL. I mean, you guys have to go out there on offense and go, who's going to fuck with us? Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, once you spread us out, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of our best things is spreading out. You know, and, you know, when you got Mike, Ted, Alvin, Cook, and whoever else you want to plug in there, you know, whoever. Like, it's gonna be good.
You over that call yet?
Say it again.
You over that call?
Oh yeah, for sure.
How long did it take you? You're a coach's son, so I'm sure you did it quickly.
Yeah, it probably took me about 2 weeks.
I'm sure you're tired of people asking that question.
I mean, it's one of the biggest controversies. In a long time. And just like I said, when it happened, we'll get a rule out of it.
You will, and you got one.
And we got one. And it's just something that we have to live with for the rest of our lives. But, you know, we have an opportunity to do it again. And that's all it's about. You know, we can't go into the next season thinking that call is going to bless us. We got to go in this season like, man, we're back. Get ourselves together. Mm-hmm. Let's play football because it's a whole new season.
It was fucking bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, it's just so blatant.
I think that the ref should get some type of penalty, you know. But other than that, you know, everybody makes his mistakes.
Yes.
It ain't no different than a drop ball or a fumble or whatever it is.
I mentioned Brady Quinn earlier. You go the second wide receiver taking that draft, and I went back and looked this morning. You are undoubtedly the second best wide receiver that came out of that draft.
For sure.
Over Dwayne Bowe, over Sidney Rice, only behind Calvin Johnson. And it's funny that the time, we just experienced the draft, we look at these mock drafts. And if it doesn't go according to the mock, we think that something went wrong.
Yeah.
But I look at yours now and go, who had the better career, you or Brady Quinn? Is it funny to, like, look back at it now?
Well, you know,
because it's got to be fucking weird getting booed.
Well, you know.
Especially at a young age.
I've been getting booed for a long time. I was a coach's son. So it was always, he's not as good as y'all say.
He's only getting this opportunity
because of his dad.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Until I made a name for myself. You know, and I played, like I said, I played behind great guys. You know, Darius Hiley, we used to call him Superman. Mm. He went to Ohio State. It just didn't pan out like we wanted to. Dante Whitner was a
Hitner.
Before he was Hitner, he was everything. He could play quarterback. He could play tailback.
Wow.
Tay used to get offensive MVP of the playing dealer. He had 6 touchdowns. Man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Man, he could still hit you, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I played with a lot of great guys to make me become who I am, and I've seen a lot. You know, I've seen guys like Chris Charleston, you know, that played at Toledo at one point, you know. Sean Williams, you know, one of the best backs to come to Glenville. Like, you know what I'm saying? Terrence Hudson. Mm-hmm. Like, I mark my game after a lot of people. Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't really from the big people that you see in the world. You know, it's just the people that come out of my area. You know, we always had talent, no matter if it's basketball, football, or track.
So when they're booing you, who cares?
Who cares? Like, I didn't care. I'm going to come in, I'm going to give you what I got.
I think you even said right afterwards, you're like, I was surprised by it too.
I was. You know, for that to be a quarterback driven point, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We had just played Brady Quinn in the Fiesta Bowl, and he kind of took us to the wire.
Yeah.
It was a great defense at that time at Ohio State, you know. And, you know, for me to be, you know, up in the air with a guy like that, you know, it was amazing that they was like, hey, we're going to take that guy.
Oh, I'm sure. Do people come up to you and try to race you on the street?
Yeah.
Is it a lot?
No, I just have a guy named Mace.
Okay. And, not the rapper.
No. Nah, well, he is a rapper, but not the
Mace
rapper. He's our rapper in our area. And that was kind of like one of the ways I kind of made money. He'll come down.
Stop. That's incredible.
He'll come down and, you know, he said, I'm going to get you today. We'll put $100 down there. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying?
And what age is this?
This 16, 17.
So 16, 17, you were open for business.
I was open
you
for
wanted
business.
To race? Let's
Come on
go.
With it.
Where would you guys race?
Right there on the football field.
So,
and for a guy that been out of shape, or not really out of shape, but didn't play sports, you know, he wasn't that far off. So
really?
He's giving me a race now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
How much money did you take off this guy?
Probably about $200-$300.
That's awesome. But I would feel like even now, people would come up to you if you were out.
For sure.
And go, parking
Let's go pole
lot.
Pole to pole. And
pole
I'd just
pole.
Be like, where you check at?
So you're always down to do it?
I'm always down to do it.
So, because a lot of people refuse. They don't want to either get embarrassed, or they slip, or they don't want to get hurt. You're kind of like, man, this
Let's
is what I was born
it.
To do.
Yeah, I've been running from light pole my whole life.
So I can say this to people. If you see Ted get on the street, he will race, but you need to have money. Is there a minimum?
Ain't no minimum. It's just 1 mile. 10,000 or better.
10,000 or better?
Yeah. Why not?
This sounds like a really fun thing. Can I be your Don King?
Come on with it.
All right. Man. He is now open for business.
Nah.
You think you got it? You don't got it. Ted Ginn Jr. is going to go pole to pole against any of you busters.
Nah.
10,000.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever taken you up on this?
Nah.
Has anyone...
My last argument was with Chris Johnson.
He came on our show and believes that John Ross, his 40 time was not legitimate, and that he should still have the fastest 40 time of all time.
I sound like him.
Yeah. Super. That's all you
but
fast
that's,
guys.
That's, you know, we had... That was my last... my first and last, like, big argument was with him at a pool party in Miami. And we had Jory Porter. You had...
Oh, he'll egg it on.
Vince Young.
Man.
You had Ocho. You had, like... You had some guys in there.
Sure. And Ocho's going to say he's the fastest. And I was like,
can't
man,
beat
just,
nobody.
Yeah, can't get out of here.
But, you know, that was the last time that, you know, it got almost physical, and a lot of money got on the line.
Wow.
But
can Chris still run like that?
No. Don't think so. I mean,
you're still streamlined, man. Yeah, he got a little.
Like different. I told him, I said, Chris, I haven't gained a pound. I said, man, you play tailback, bro.
Yeah, you got beat up.
You got to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you put
but
on
this
weight.
This was back in the day, though. This was
of
back
course,
in the
of
day.
Course.
But, you know what I'm saying? He always had the most respect for me, though.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because a guy to go out there and run when he ran, you know, you got to have some power back.
Incredible. All right, so then if you could pick four guys in the NFL, including yourself, so three other guys that you're going to put in a heat, who are the three that you think are going to make it a race? We'll put Tyreek in there.
For sure.
You. And then two other guys. Like, are we putting Marquise Goodwin in there? 49er? Are we?
Yeah. Yeah.
That man can hawk people.
He can haul. Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't even know.
I'll probably say...
John Brown from Cincinnati.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Odell.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I just like you saying no.
Devere Bird.
Okay. Who is he on?
He played for Arizona, but he was with Carolina.
Bird.
18.
And he could fly.
Fly.
I think we should just have like the Ted Ginn Speed Olympics. And we just, because I've reached a point with the Pro Bowl that I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And Oh, I get to watch Alvin Kamara play defensive end. Okay, whatever. I want to bring back the quarterback challenge where they're hitting targets and we're having how far can Patrick Mahomes throw it? How far can Josh Allen? I want to see.
Yeah.
You can throw it 85. That's incredible. But then back in the day when it was like Darryl Green, it was the fastest man in the NFL. If all we're hurting is people's pride, come on, man, we're professional athletes.
Yeah.
I would love to have that 40-yard. I mean, I know they got to worry about insurance, but like, come on, man, that would be so much fun. And I know you're apparently confident enough in it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
because if you won in your 13th year, legendary status.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What are they going to say?
Nothing.
Sean Payton, Drew Brees. Where should we be with Dez Bryant right now? Like, can he come back and play this year?
That's not up to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But do you think he's still got it?
Yeah, for sure.
I know he's coming off the injury and all that stuff.
I don't think he lost not a step like that, you know.
It's just weird that we haven't seen him at all.
Well, and, you know.
You guys tried to.
Yeah, we gave him the opportunity, you know, especially with me being out. You know, and
That must have been a shitty day.
He came into the locker room. He had his head on straight. We looked like he was going to be a fit for us, you know, and you know, I really don't know Dez like that.
Okay.
But the time that I, you know, spent with him in the locker room and in and out, you know, and just try to give him a couple pointers on, you know, being the next guy in here that, you know, playing with the duo, like, you know, what you're going to have to look forward for and what they're going to want out of you and different things like
the
that.
The duo.
You know, he seemed like he was going to take the role on pretty nice. You know, you hear
so much bad stuff.
You hear so much bad stuff about the guy, and you know, that didn't come off to me.
No.
You know, he came in like, I'm ready to go. You know, I got the opportunity to play with some great guys. You know, with me having the opportunity to come back. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm
at a point now, I had Martellus Bennett in here last week. I'm at a point now that when I hear a team say that a player is not a great guy, there's a reason they're saying that, because it's not often the case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, typically your actions will show me if you're good or not.
Yeah.
But if I hear that you're a distraction or whatever, like, I have never thought Dez was a bad influence.
Mm-mm.
I just thought he's trying to win.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
That he's passionate.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of that being deemed annoying to people.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here. One thing we were talking about earlier that I need to talk about before I let you go, you were a defender.
Yeah.
You were the 2004 Defensive Player of the Year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was asking about pick sixes.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Ohio State, did you ever want to stay defense? Like, how did you decide to play offense?
So what happened was, you know, I went to Ohio State and, you know, that spring.
And you played corner your first year.
I played corner, but I didn't play corner. I was labeled as a corner.
Mm.
So my first hoon holler. That's when you line the quarterback up, running back, offensive lineman,
sure.
D lineman, and then either linebacker or corner safety.
Right, right.
So they put me back there. And, you know, I hold your jersey. And I'm back there, and I'm excitement. And the dude ran me over. Like, just Matt Johnson. I never forget his name. Ran me over.
Clock.
Boom. And, you know, they lined me back up. Dante there. Troy there. You know.
Like, all right, I'm going to get him this time.
Curtis Terry there. They like, man, we don't do that. Like, we run the hood. Like, you know, like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
I'm yeah.
Like, you know, it was like you had to hit up top. Like, that wasn't my forte. Like,
I go low.
I go low. So the next time he came up, I took his ankles out. Mom. And I almost hurt him. And they was like, we don't hit like that in this drill. And I was like, well, he already gave me almost a concussion.
I'm like, not going to let it happen
again. I'm not about to let it happen again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to hit you like I supposed to, like that. So in that time frame, you know, I wasn't big enough to sustain. You know, at that time, it was a lot of power running.
Yeah.
A lot of sweeps.
Sure.
Like real stuff like that. And with them having Gamble right before that, that was kind of like big enough to be out there. And they still, you know, wore him down a little bit. Then Coach Tressel was like, man, we got to, you know, put him, I can't redshirt him.
Right. Look, you mean you were like a five-star top 10 in the country.
Yeah, so I can't redshirt him. He's excellent on offense if we get the ball in his hand.
Let's just do
it. So as that went on, like, I was probably like one-on-ones, I'd probably go, what, four on offense, four on defense. I have like two slants and two bombs and can't nobody kind of like mess with me. Then on defense, I had like almost an interception, a PBU, a good play. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like he could still do both, you know what I'm saying? But we got to build his body up to get him ready for defense. So my first game of the season, they gave me 10 plays on offense because I didn't know the playbook because I was going back and forth. I was mainly in defensive room. But you had guys like Austin Uboldi, Dustin Fox, Dante,
sure,
Tyler Everett. Like, you had some guys over there that was good.
Yeah, they could handle it.
Yeah. So Tretch put me over there on offense, and I got into the groove that first game on a new 10 play like that. And then the next week, they gave me another 10 plays on a new 20 plays.
Yeah.
And then we came out of NC State, and they started me. And I'll never forget it. Justin Sawick looked me on a slant and threw it back that way, and I got leveled, like, bam, leveled. And I came to the sideline. I was like, Tress, listen, don't put me back out there until I know the whole playbook, like that. And then that's where we came out. About 3 weeks later, we came out with the fun bunch. It was me, Santonio, Gonzo, Troy, Pittman,
man,
Roy Hall, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And we just took it off. We just took it over.
Santonio Holmes.
Santonio Holmes.
That catch in the Super Bowl. Holy crap. How strong is your OSU pride? Like, insane?
Yeah. Why not?
And now you're cool with Urban now that he's on your side?
I'm happy he's gone.
Oh, that's right. He's gone now.
I'm happy he's gone.
How come?
I just didn't like some of the things that he did. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're super connected to, like, the high school region, so, like, you're going to know much more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Was there stuff that we weren't seeing?
Definitely. You know, and, you know, I'm not saying that a kid from my school should go there every year. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? But you still should come in there in the city and take a look at him. And in my eyes, he didn't do that.
Mm.
And we, you know, I'm not saying that we might not have had the kid. You know what I'm saying? But just give us a chance.
Plus, I mean, Ohio State has to own Ohio.
Period.
I mean, look at all the guys that you have in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
It would be stupid not to.
Just take a look.
Yeah.
We got a diamond in the rough every year down there. You know what I'm saying? You just got to come and take a look. And it ain't got to be from my high school. It could have been from this high school over here, that high school over here. Because the way my father deals is, you know, he's going to help anybody and everybody around that inner city to try to give them that opportunity.
Ginn Elite.
Yes, sir.
Is this youth development? What exactly
it's
is
youth development? So it's I have three Pop Warner teams.
Okay.
And I have three AAU teams. So I have a fourth grade and fifth grade, and I have a 10th grade team. Mm. And then I have a 89, a 10U, and another like 11, 10 team, you know. So as far as football went, my first 89 team went straight to Florida. We won it all.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that kind of like put us on a pedestal, like,
Here they go again. Here's the Ginn family doing it again.
So the whole deal is to try to get these kids at a young age and show them the ropes, you know what I'm saying? Because you have so much going on in the inner city that, you know, they get, you know,
pulled in every direction.
You know what I'm saying? So I see that right now you have to go get the kids at 8 or 9. When we was coming up, you can catch us at about 11 or 12.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So we got to go a little bit down the line to get these guys, you know what I'm saying? And just give them the opportunities that we had, you know, coming up, that my Muni League had when I was coming up. I went to Florida every year, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't even Pop Warner, but it was just something that my team did, you know what I'm saying? So. And right now they're marketing kids from Pop Warner on through.
To start recruiting.
To start recruiting. Just look at Metcalf.
Yeah.
You know, the Mamba. Like, you know, all these guys was Pop Warner legends.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And then they went to college, did their thing in college, and then now they made their way to the NFL.
How long have you been doing Ginn Elite now?
So now we're going on our third year.
So you're going to reach a point, man, where some of these kids make it. And there'll have been Ginn Elite athletes. Like, that's going to be crazy.
And then it still keep my father's legacy alive.
Yes. Which I can tell is so big to you.
Yeah.
Is it because of his impact on you, or is it just, like, the name you want it going? Like,
it's both. It's the impact that it was on me, the impact that it was on a lot of other kids, no matter if they made it or not.
Mm.
You know, like I said, I have my own high school there called Ginn Academy. You know, I've been up and running for 13 years since I've been in the NFL.
Wow.
Father's the CEO of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, guys like Justin Hardy.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lake graduated from Ginn Academy but played at Glenville. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And right now we have a 98.9 percentile of graduation rate is all boys.
That's incredible.
But we don't get the recognition like we supposed to. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think that is?
Just being in inner city, you know,
What's really interesting about the inner city is growing up, I was born in the 80s, so like 90s and stuff, I learned a lot about the inner cities in New York, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot about the inner cities in LA, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of movies made about that.
Yeah.
And then as I started getting older, because everyone thinks the Midwest is the Midwest, yeah. right? But then, like, you know, LeBron's story comes out. I know Terry Rozier pretty well, mm-hmm. Shaker Heights kind of guy. And you start hearing about places in Ohio. And you start hearing about places in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you begin to realize, like, it's not just New York and L.A. It's these other places in between. And you guys have created this foundation and this environment and this ecosystem, really, in Ohio of creating successful young men. The one thing I'm shocked by is it sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
In addition to being in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of these guys are like, man, I need these 3 months. I just want to, like, take off. This sounds like your other life.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's consuming everything. I don't even know how you balance all that
stuff.
Well,
you know, and then there's another way. Like, I have a son that's 8. I have a daughter. I mean, I have twins. They're 8. Like, and I'm just trying to make a way to where once they get hooked to wherever they want to hook to, they already got a platform they can walk straight into. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to, hey, my son said, hey, Dad, I want to play football. I got the tangibles to get him right. But now I got to have some people that can help me be right, too.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's all about working around the environment. Like, everybody on my team right now that plays is a somebody's son that played with me or a little bit older than me, or, you know what I'm saying, might be a little younger than me. Like, but they all juniors and thirds and you know, they look like their mamas and they cheerleaders. And, like, you know what I'm saying? It's still the same family base that it was when I was coming up. Still the same kids. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like if I don't give them that platform that my father gave for us, then it's like we're going to lose them to the Catholic schools that really just want to bring them in for their talent and let them go. We don't care about their talent. We're just trying to make you use your best talent to go to college to get a degree.
Yes.
That's it.
Is there a Ted Ginn III?
Yes.
How old is he now?
8.
Wow. What's that like?
Oh, man.
Because I will never have an Adam Lefkoe the second. Like, we don't do that. I'm just, like, some people, like, I heard LeBron say this on the shop. I don't want to call my son my name because I don't want to put that pressure on him. But then I see Tegan Sr., Tegan Jr., now Tegan the third. I feel like for you guys, it's more of a pride thing than a pressure thing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, my father's put a certain boundary out here that I was able to walk on. I want to put the same boundary out so my son be able to walk on and hope that he keep it going. If not, it's okay. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? But it's just set up. It's just like George Washington's, you know, or whoever, you know,
sure.
whoever that has the boom, boom,
the
boom.
The strong
you know?
Lineage.
That's just what it is. You know, it was a lot of things that, you know, I was able to bypass or get through because of my name.
Mm, like what?
Like just the street sometimes.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? You know, you got guys out there that wouldn't let me do certain things because of my name.
You have too much potential. You're not allowed to bang with us or
yeah.
something like that.
You can't stand on the corner up here, bro. You got to go because when your daddy come up here, he going to kick my butt, your butt, this dude butt, everybody butt.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here, take this $2, $3 and get on about your way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
you don't even realize that till later.
And yeah, you don't realize
at the time you're like, man, I'm just trying to hang out.
I'm just trying to be the
Why
guy.
My dad ruined all this fun.
And it wasn't like that. It
right,
was
right.
just that, you know, they had a bigger picture because they went down the same guidelines but just fell to the streets.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? For their own mental ways or whatever they wanted to do. Like, they weren't gonna let me do that.
Yeah. I remember the most angry that I ever saw my dad. He was coaching a basketball game one time, and a ref made one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And if he hears this, which he probably will, I apologize. But he got right in the ref's face, and he goes, I'm going to rip off your fucking head and shit in your fucking neck. And I remember I was the only one laughing because
yeah.
I was like, man, I got to ride home. I was like, wait, if he got ejected.
Yeah.
I was like, do I got to leave now too? Like, that's my ride. What's the angriest you've ever seen Pops or the most emotional?
It's always track.
Always track.
It's always
something
track.
About track.
Track, like, it was always track. Like, it was times, like, where if I didn't run a certain time, he'd take my car keys and leave me with 2 bus tickets.
Stop.
Or 75 cents.
And you'd actually have to take the bus
and
home?
And my keys would be, like, right on top of the oven. And it was like, you better not get them.
Wow.
Like, you know, my senior year goes back to another one of my senior years. We had just got done running the regionals. We just got done running the regionals. He woke us up on Sunday and say, we going to practice. This is the only day we can get the hardest work in. I'm like, Pops, I just PR'd.
Yeah, like, my best record ever.
I just
ever.
Did everything you just asked me to do. I'm tired. I'm sick. I don't want to do it. Like, can you just give me a day?
Yeah.
He got me up, and we had 6 heels on that imaginary line.
That he made.
And we had another 6 heels on these grass heels. And by the time I got to the grass heels, I remember like yesterday, the first one I went up, I never came back down. So another one of my teammates come up, Raymond Smalls. He say, your daddy said you better come back down here. I said, tell him come get me.
Damn.
Another guy came up. He said, you know if he come up here, you know what he going to do to it. So I got to see how it's going to happen. Like,
I
you know what
I'm
saying? And another guy came up. He said, this is the last time. You won't come down here right now. He said, he going to do something to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? So then I rolled down. Like,
no.
Rolled down.
You laid on your side and rolled down
the hill. And when I got up, I was woozy. Like, that was a bad idea. And I looked at him and said, I quit.
After you had just set your personal record the day before.
And we going to States next week. I quit. And I went and got in the car with my next door neighbor, Miss Tate. And I was like, man, take me home. Like that. But I couldn't go nowhere because she had to wait for everybody else to get done. So when I went home, I told my mother, I said, man, take me to the hospital, man. I'm sick. Like, I went to the hospital. I probably like had like a 103 fever.
Did you really?
Yeah. So
all that
I came in, I was looking, I said, man, I told you I was sick, man, you know. Like, and then my mom said, we went upstairs, he was upstairs like, oh, man, I almost killed my boy today.
Wow. And so I thought that was going to end with you getting punished, really.
But it was just, you know, that's just the type of feedback we had during the track. Like, football, it was
fun.
Go play football, get you 2 or 3 touchdowns, and I see you tomorrow.
But you know that all that shit led to who you are today.
Today, yeah.
And we don't realize that when we're younger.
No. Nope.
We think that our parents are fucking nuts.
But then it led us to more great guys.
Yeah.
It led us to the Marshawns, to the Justins, to the Raymond Smalls, the Robert Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, Willie Henry, you know, Frank Clark.
How can people support you guys today?
Well, you know, we have a website coming out. Our biggest thing right now is Gin Elite on Instagram.
Okay. Is it at Gin Elite?
Yeah.
Okay. G-I-N-N.
Yep. And then, you know, you can always get it off my website, off my page.
Yeah.
And then we'll be blasting our website in a little bit, too.
Man, it's been nice to meet you, man.
You too.
Absolute pleasure. Ted Ginn, he believes he's still the fastest player in the NFL.
For sure.
I've learned that I might have to do something with your pops. I might have to have him put me through a workout, and then I'll just gonna roll down the hill and go, I quit the whole time. Great to meet you, bro.
No doubt.
Good luck next season.
Thank you.
Let the beat drop. And hit him up on social. What is your social?
So it's Ted Ginn Jr. _19.
Ted Ginn, always rocking the 19.
Always.
A lot of Saints fans got angry at me last year because I would call you guys out a lot, and you've just made it a lot harder. So I appreciate you, man.
No doubt.
Good shit, bro. Homies, holler at you, 33%. Y'all are the shit. I am in Vegas right now as this comes out, PGA Championships. So keep being awesome, and I'll hit you up later. Flood his social. Tell him he's the frickin' man. I'll talk to you guys later.